Welcome back to another Steam, Steel, and Murder adventure. Tonight, we take a break from our Deadlands Noir campaign and play a scenario entitled Forget Me Not, which can be found in the compilation of Cthulhu scenarios called The Things We Leave Behind by Stygian Fox Press. The players tonight are Jameis, Sharon, and Richard, but not our usual Richard. I'm going to have to give our multiple Richards more identification. Anyhow, enjoy this one-shot scenario. Okay, so the recording's going. All right, so this is a Call of Cthulhu scenario called Forget Me Not, although I'm not using the Call of Cthulhu rules for this. When the rules come up, when you need to interface with the rules, I will let you know what to do. First of all, I want each of you guys to click that D100 button 5 times. Start with you, Jameis.
My stats are 99. 73, 56, 85, and 45.
Okay, Richard, same thing. 5 times in the D100.
Wow, that's mediocre.
Different. Oh, we have no idea if they're high as good or low bad.
You have no idea what these things are. And Sharon, same thing.
Six might be brilliant for we know.
5 times on the D100 button.
Well, you've either got 2 brilliant, 3 crappy, or 3 brilliant, 2 crappy.
Richard, you open your eyes. You seem to be lying flat on your back, grass beneath you, staring up at the stars. The smell of gasoline in the air comes to your, just kind of comes to your senses as you come back to consciousness. You seem to be unhurt. Your back hurts a little bit. Your jeans are torn. But otherwise, you seem to be okay. You're not sure where you are.
I look around.
Right, off to your left, there is a van that has fallen over onto its side. It's in a ditch. There seems to be 2 persons in the van. One of them is laying like halfway out of the passenger side window and looks to be in really bad shape. Big gash on his head.
Okay, I try to give some assistance to the person that's bleeding.
All right. You walk over to the passenger side. Again, this person is kind of hanging half in and half out. It looks like his seatbelt saved him from being flung out of the window. The driver also seems to be injured. The airbag has plastered her to the seat. You can't really tell. You see blood, but you really can't tell if she's alive or dead or how badly injured she is. This man in front of you, though, make me an observation about him. What do you see in front of you? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? It could be a description. It could be a thought of what you think this man might do for a living. The only thing you can tell is that he is wearing like one of these nylon black jackets. You remember what a members only jacket looks like back in the 80s? I don't know how old you are actually, Richard. It's kind of like a windbreaker style jacket. That's really all you can make out about what he's wearing. So make me an observation about this fellow you see.
You mean make one up?
Yeah, just make up an observation about him.
He looks like a delivery person.
Okay, looks like a delivery person. All right, what do you do?
Well, I try to unbuckle him and give him first aid or pulling out a car.
Okay, you can't reach the buckle to unbuckle him. The door seems to be crumpled in. You try to work the handle, and you're unable to work the door. He seems to be pretty thoroughly out.
I'm going to try to find something sharp to cut the belt with or something.
Where are you looking? Just looking around in front of you, there's shards of glass on the ground. Likely came from the window that burst.
Yep, I will use that.
Okay. You cut the man free, and you pull him out of the car. Jameis, this causes you to come to consciousness, and you look over, and you see a woman. At least you think it's a woman. She has longish hair, kind of flattened up against the driver's seat. The airbag is really concealing your features, though. But what is the first impression you have of her?
She's fashion conscious. Have fun with that, Sharon.
All right, you're pulled from the auto wreck. You have numerous abrasions on your like your arms, scratching against the window as you're pulled through. Looks like you have been gashed. Maybe your head hit the dashboard as the van went over. You're not really sure. You don't actually know what happened. I mean, you're being pulled from a wreck. You smell gasoline on the air, but that's all you remember.
Okay, can I see who's pulling me out?
Yes. Let's see. Okay. We'll have Sharon make her observation.
Yep. Of him. Yeah.
But go ahead. So what you see in front of you is it's male. He's wearing a T-shirt that has it's black T-shirt, and it has a stylized letter on it as if someone sprayed it with like spray paint, like you know, tagging that says T. Gotta make sure I get thing right. TSF. You know, as if it was tagged with spray paint, it's kind of like a really bright green.
Those are the sort of questions I'm getting out.
But how do you respond to that, Richard?
Sorry, I told him as that. What was it?
He's basically just kind of bumbling at you like how, what, where. He looks confused.
Dude, I don't know, dude. I just woke up here in this field.
Sharon, conversation brings you back to consciousness. Your face feels like you've been dragged across a rug and have carpet burns all over the front of your face. At first, you feel like you're suffocating. There's this big, bilious white balloon pushing you up against what feels like a car seat. And you panic as you kind of push it out of the way. And you see two men talking. But the angle's really bizarre. You seem to be behind the wheel of a car with the airbag has been deployed. The car seems to be on its side, driver's side, planted to the ground. You can kind of see grass through your window. Seatbelt still on.
Okay. Seatbelt still on. Can I reach the seatbelt enough to unbuckle it?
You can.
Okay. I'm going to unbuckle it and then try to climb out of the passenger side window.
Okay, easily done. Someone has already shattered the glass for you. You seem to be injured. Your left rotator cuff, it makes it really hard to move your left arm. You don't think it's broken, but you think you've got a really bad sprain.
Ow!
All right. The first person you see as you pull yourself out of the window is Richard's character. And what is your first impression of Richard's character? Again, it can be a physical description, something you might think his job might be. Just what's your first impression of him?
Young. He's young.
He's young. Okay. All right, guys. And pulling herself out of the passenger side windows, she's got long black hair. Could be dyed as her eyebrows seem to be a shade lighter. She seems to be maybe in her late 20s, early 30s. She's dressed really well. Her whole face, though, as she kind of pulls herself out and you get a better look, seems to be like as if it were sunburned from the impact of that that airbag smashing against her face and kind of rubbing it really raw. And you pull yourself out there out of the wreckage, Sharon. All of you guys smell gasoline, but nothing's on fire. You're on the van is on a ditch beside what looks to be a long interstate. No other cars are around.
I start checking myself over, probing myself, see where I hit.
Yeah, you find a cell phone in your back pocket. Unfortunately, it's thoroughly crushed. And you find also, I'm going to show you guys a... Let me find it here. You find a key with a fob on it in the back of your pocket. And I'm going to show you this here. Nope, I didn't. I didn't make it think this one. So it is it's a steel key. It seems to have a plastic keychain and a little blue diamond piece of plastic at the end of it that says Coach and Lantern Motel, 12705 West Vienna Street, Clio, MI. On the back of it, it's got a room number, you're supposing, number 3. You also have a billfold in it. It's a California, Los Angeles, California driver's license, saying that your name is Doug Stinson, and there's a photograph of someone who's not familiar to you at all, and about $90 in cash, Walmart gift card, a few various AAA card, a few other things in there. But that's really all you find on you. As far as how damaged you are, looks to be superficial. Scratches here and there. Some of them are bleeding. None of them look too bad. The name Doug Stinson also doesn't really resonate with you.
Okay.
Did you say the picture matched Doug's face?
Well, he hasn't shared that with anybody. He just pulled out his wallet and he's looking at it.
Okay. Do I have a wallet?
You're going to look around too. You also have a set of keys similar to what he pulled out. Yours says number 5 on the back. You also have a wallet. Your name is Rick Hall, or at least the Los Angeles, California driver's license inside says Rick Hall. You've got about $28 in cash on you and various shopping cards. The picture is also not familiar to you. Either is the name.
Well, at that time, I'm going to check my pockets.
You're wearing like really nice business slacks, and you had a really nice coat on. In the inside pocket of the coat, you also have it's not a wallet. It's like a money clip, but it's got these little credit card slots on it. You have a driver's license as well, and your name or the name on the license is Cynthia Smith, also from Los Angeles, California. Name and picture just don't bring anything to your memory. You've got about $300 clipped there. You've got two $100 bills and several 20s to make up the other 100. You also have a key fob with room number 6. Let's see. Also, you have a cell phone in your other pocket, and it is intact. Richard, you did not have a cell phone.
Okay.
Who are you people? What are we doing here?
When he asked that, the strange young man, and you go to answer, you don't know who you are or where you are, really.
Do I feel like I hit my head or something that I don't remember anything?
You feel fine, actually. You're, you know, looking at the car. You're not sure if you were in the car or not. The only broken window is on the passenger side. But this other man here was in the passenger seat, so you doubt you were thrown from that. Let's say you notice that the back of the van, however, the door, one of the doors is broken off and is slid several feet away. You might have been thrown from the back. Or maybe you dove out of the way from a van that had gone uncontrolled on the highway. You just don't remember.
Does anyone know what happened?
And I just woke up in this field. I don't know. I don't know who I am.
What kind of phone do I have?
What kind of phone do you have?
Is it one of those fancy ones with the mirror finish?
It's an iPhone 7.
If it is, I'm going to use the front of the phone to look at myself and look at the driver's license.
Sure. The reflection on the phone looks to be the same as on the driver's license, although in the driver's license you have blonde hair. You seem to have dyed black hair now. You can see the roots.
Okay.
And as you move it around, the front screen lights up. It tells you that it is September 17th, 824, 2017. And it's asking for a pass. It's asking for a passphrase to open it.
It's asking for passphrase.
Yep. A little like a digit dialer is on the screen asking for a pass code.
Okay, I'm going to use the classic mistake everyone makes. Look at the driver's license that's obviously mine, and use the birthday listed.
You type in the birthday. It seems to be one number letter short. Letter or number short. Or character short.
Try adding an exclamation point.
While you fumble with your phone, not having a lot of luck unlocking it, what are you other two gentlemen doing?
Stumble over to the interstate and see if there's any sign of anyone coming up or down that we can flag down for help.
It seems to be it runs as far as you can see in both directions, coming and going, but you don't really see any traffic. It's dark. And there really aren't a lot of streetlights. There's some in the distance, giving just enough light that you can see what you're doing here.
Is the van still running, or it's totally?
It's off. It seems to be. I mean, you don't see any fire anywhere. It's not leaking any fluids. You don't know what kind of condition it is, but it's not currently running. Around you, it looks like woodland. And again, the only lights you really see are about maybe a half a mile back in the direction that the van apparently was coming from, unless it got itself turned completely around. Looks like that might be, you don't know, from this distance, it doesn't look like it is any kind of street light. Maybe it's the lights of a home or apartment. Hard to tell. You really don't know where you are.
Maybe we should just head over towards the light, guys.
And you would be...
Cynthia.
As she looks down at her driver's license.
You are?
Check my driver's license again. Doug? Was it Doug?
Yeah, Doug Stinson.
I'm Rick, or I think I am. That's what my license says.
And I look around. Is there any sign of... I don't know how bright it would be easy to see, but skid marks on the road or something that we signed and then we hit something or what sent us off the road?
You walk up the road in both directions just in case it did get turned around. And there's no obvious signs that the van tried to brake or that it even swerved hard. Looks like it just plowed over this embankment and dropped into this ditch.
Before we head out towards the anywhere we're going, is there anything in the back of the van?
Take a look in the back of the van. With one door flung open, you take a look inside. And yeah, there's a bunch of equipment in here, actually. what you're seeing are like, it's really weird. You're seeing like lots of electrical cables. You're seeing like camera lenses. You're seeing a bunch of these waterproof plastic cases that would float, and they've got all kinds of electronic equipment in them.
And I want to have a look in the front to see if we got any papers in the car that might be useful.
Pop open the glove compartment and you find a rental agreement.
So is this like an unmarked van with no lettering or anything?
Yeah. Never mind what the picture shows on the screen. It's just a white van. And it looks like Cynthia Smith rented this about 5 days ago. Luckily, it looks like she did check off the part asking for insurance.
Oh, goody.
$3 well spent.
So, Cynthia, maybe you could call 911, emergency call on your phone?
That's true. I should be able to dial 911.
Probably no service here.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I tell you what, give me a D100 roll. No, unfortunately, you can't even get into 911. It won't let you dial without a pass key being put in.
Ooh. That is odd.
Apple.
Oh, other than that, you also find in the glove compartment. Sorry, almost forgot. You find it here.
Yep.
Actually, I think I put it in as a. I did. I'm just going to move you guys through this real quick. You have a map and a key of a place called Clio, Michigan.
They say Clio over here.
Yep, okay.
I look at my key fob again. Where was the motel place?
The Coach and Lantern Motel on West Vienna Street in Clio. Or Clio. Huh. How did you pronounce it, Richard?
Clio.
Clio, okay. Clio.
Okay.
It's a place. It's a map of interest, but they don't actually have the place we were staying that I can spot.
So when we go out on the road, are we seeing any road signs or anything?
No. You seem to be on an unlabeled patch or distance. I mean, you know, on most roads, this is fine. Your memory works fine when you think about how things, you know, work. You know, if you walk at least a mile, you're going to reach a mile marker telling you something on most any roads.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do.
So what's your find back there?
A bunch of electrical equipment. Is there a flashlight or anything?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple of the big D-cell flashlights back there.
Okay.
Well, apparently you rented this van.
Huh.
I quickly look around to see if I might have dropped anything, backpack or anything.
Sure. You take a look around. And other than what I've described, you don't really see anything else. Looking in the back, though, where she's telling you all this technology is, there is like a rumble seat back there, and it has been knocked off its bolts, and it's kind of slid towards the back end of the car. And it looks like the seatbelt wasn't being worn.
No, teach me.
And I look in the back, nothing sparks a clue.
No, I mean, there's an awful lot of, actually, it comes to your mind, and you're not sure why, but you think surveillance gear. But oddly, there are no cameras. You see camera lenses, You see the proper hookups that you would use to interface a camera with, say, a computer, but no cameras, no computers, no kind of storage device, but all of the other paraphernalia that you would use for surveillance.
Any sign of any kind of, no sign of computers or anything?
No, computers are missing. Cameras are missing. Video recorders are missing. You don't even see hard drives. Although there is one open case that suspiciously looks like it did hold several hard drives. And while you're thinking this to yourself, make a note somewhere that you have electrical repair and electronics. It's just flashing through your mind that you know exactly what this stuff is. You know what it's used for. You know what should be in this case, but it's not in this case. But other than just the very fact of what this stuff is, it holds no memory for you, as it's not personal to you. You just happen to know what this stuff is.
Okay. I'm obviously taking out my key and turning it over just so I can just double check things. So the others can see that I've got one.
Are you guys like comparing stuff that you're finding on you?
I mean, yes.
Obviously, you can see that he's fingering this key, and all of you see that you have one similar. So, Jamis, you're holding number 3. Sharon, mm-hmm. you're holding number 6. And Richard, you're holding number 5.
So there ought to be a fourth person.
Well, we would just, I assume we're all from the same place then. We all must know each other. I've forgotten your name, Richard.
I'm Rick.
So you say it doesn't look like the van swerved or spun around or made a U-turn or anything. It just looked like it was heading straight
ahead. Yeah, it looks like it's headed straight. Straight to the embankment. Like you can see actually where it kind of just drove along the edge for a bit before falling into the ditch. You don't see any brake marks. Like there's no rubber on the road. There's nothing that would make it seem like it swerved out of the way. It just ran off the ledge.
Are the keys still in the ignition?
Yes.
I'm not going to turn it on because I can smell the gasoline. So.
Yeah. You turn that off.
It's already off. But I do wonder if the car works.
Give me a D100 roll, Jamis.
Ooh. Boink. 7.
Oh, yeah. You think so. The key is actually on the on position. But for some reason, you know that this particular model of van, and for some reason you know it's a 2012 Chevy, when the airbag is deployed, the electronics shut down. So there's a good chance the car still runs. You don't see any damage to the front end, but you're not exactly sure that the three of you could actually push this thing back onto the road. It's awfully heavy, and this is a deep ditch.
Okay, do we look like average people, or does one of us look like a grunt? Or?
No, nope. No, nobody picked up on the fact that anyone was particularly large or grunt-like, so I would assume that you're all average-looking people.
Obviously, Cynthia is the executive boss of us.
She does seem to be exceptionally well-dressed compared to your other two. The young fellow, Rick, basically he's dressed in a T-shirt and jeans. You're not much better off with a cheesy windbreaker. Actually, now that you're thinking about it, you're wearing the same T-shirt he is.
Huh. Are we groupies or something? Roadies?
Rock and roll.
Is that like logo or painted on or stenciled on anything in the back of the van?
No. The van appears to be a rental. There's really nothing on it.
No, not on it. I mean on the equipment in it.
Oh yes, that logo actually is stenciled. If you start digging around, you find it stenciled on a few things.
Okay. Is it spelled out anywhere that we see?
No, just the three letters, all in that kind of day glow green.
Okay, well, there's no sign of any traffic, and I don't think anyone's going to come out to help us. And it's dark, so there seem to be lights over there.
Yeah, it's only the lights you see around, actually. It's about maybe half a mile. in the direction the van was coming from.
Yeah.
It's also starting to rain.
Do the jacket up.
Is there another jacket or another windbreaker or something inside the van?
Toss around for a bit. No, but there are some blankets.
Blankets. Okay. Rick, you should take one.
I'm going to make a poncho out of one. All right. Big hole in the middle.
Before we set off, I assume we're going to walk off. I just want to grab the paperwork from the car, and if there's any particularly really expensive looking piece of equipment in the back that I can easily carry, just so we don't lose that, because I'm assuming this is our stuff.
It's an audio mixing board. I mean, looking around, that's the most valuable thing back here. A couple grand worth.
Yeah, I'm not going to lug that, though.
It's not particularly heavy. I mean, you know, it might be 20 pounds.
Okay. It's usually they're fairly bulky, though, from what I remember. But
it's got a
key. Are we able to lock the back of the, at least all the doors?
Unfortunately, one of the back doors had come off the van and had skidded several feet away. That and the passenger side window's broken.
Yeah. That's why I don't particularly, well, I want the paperwork so we can say, hey, this was ours. I don't want to leave anything too expensive here in case someone else nicks stuff while we're not around.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, well, if I can grab the board in a case, then I will do that.
Yep. Actually, you pick up the case and you see it has an extensible handle and there are wheels on the bottom of the case, kind of like rolling luggage.
Neat.
You're not sure how you knew that. It's just your hand just kind of naturally fell to the levers and your hand seemed to know what to do.
This is my stuff.
One other thing is, are there like a bottle of water or something back there?
Sure. There's a couple of stray bottles of water that didn't burst from the impact.
Yeah. Definitely taking those as well.
It's right. Yes. Fine. Well, shall we pause before saying Cynthia and Rick? Shall we go that way?
Towards the light or in the direction of... Okay.
All right. It is a creepy cold walk in the getting to be progressively darker night sky with the rain coming down. Not a lot of light around. You do progress far enough that you find that, in fact, you are on an interstate. This is 75. And the lights that you're seeing are coming from, it looks like a farmhouse.
All right.
So you get up to the front gate. You know, you see cattle pastures nearby, cows in the field, some laying, some standing. You get to the front gate area. There's no lock on it. It's just one of these that are used to control where the cattle can move in or out. So you can open it, and it's not too far from there to the front porch. It looks like you tripped some kind of motion sensor, though, and the floodlights come on outside the front porch.
Okay. I am closing the gate after we go through.
Okay, so you open the gate and go through. Yeah. A man dressed in overalls, and he's wearing these leather slippers with sheepskin kind of collars. He comes out. He's got a cup of coffee, or at least smells like coffee, in one hand and a shotgun in the other. He has a smile on his face. He doesn't seem to be threatening, but he does have a gun kind of slung over his shoulder. Evening. Y'all lost.
Evening, sir. We had an accident not far from here. I was wondering if we could use your phone to call for something.
He looks you over. He takes a sip of his coffee. He says, nope, but I'd be glad to call someone for you.
Okay.
He waits.
AAA? Ambulance?
Oh, which is it? AAA ambulance? I got dinner getting cold, folks. And pardon my inhospitality, but never can be too sure, folks, these days. And y'all look Be a motley crew for sure. I'll be glad to call for you, and you can stand in my barn over there to get out of the weather if you want. Who am I calling, though?
Probably ambulance would be the best bet at the moment, aren't they?
The police.
Police?
Police and ambulance, yeah.
You folks hurt? I'll call them both if you want, but he kind of scratches his chin a little bit. Missy, you hurt?
Yeah, that's why I think the ambulance, and they can call whoever else needs to be brought in.
All right, he looks like he's thinking about it for a minute, and then he just kind of shakes his head and says, come on in. Get the mud off your feet and try not to stab me in the back. You want to kill me? Kill me from the front. Come on in.
Thank you kindly.
Yes. So in we go.
Yeah. Nice house. Very rustic. The outside kind of looks like a log cabin, but the inside is normal, drywalled, and very modern. Lots of rustic touches to it. He points you over to a cordless phone on top of the fireplace mantle. Fireplace isn't lit. I just put on some coffee. Y'all want some? Looks like you walked a fair bit.
Thank you. That'll be very kind of you.
Goes into the kitchen. You hear him call out. Mom, put on some more coffee. Boys, we got guests. Make sure you're all dressed. After a bit, he comes out with a big carafe of coffee and several mugs, sugar, cream, lays it out on the table for you. It's a slightly older looking woman comes out with him as well. And, well, sorry you had a patch of trouble there, but, hopefully you reach what you need to. We're the Bakers.
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Baker.
Well, warm yourself up, folks.
Yeah. Something fix you, if you could make a call, we don't actually know where we are. So it'd be hard to get them to come out here.
Quizzical for a moment says, I reckon 911's pretty much the same everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, but they usually like an address, don't they?
Fair call. He goes over, makes a phone call, and says, you want an ambulance? What else you need? Got sheriff on the phone here.
Oh, we had some kind of car problem and went off the road about half a mile along there. Got banged up a bit. We had some sort of tow truck, but I don't know if that's particularly urgent.
Yeah, we got a garage. Yeah. Got AAA?
I look at the rental forms and see if there's anything on there that'll.
Yeah, it's got like a call this number if you need towing, sort of thing.
Oh, yes, apparently. We got something.
He makes a few phone calls for you.
Meanwhile, he might know the rental service more than we do anyway, if it's local.
Wife pours coffee for everybody. Doesn't say much, but smiles quite a bit. And then she excuses herself to go. She says, I got to go put the boys to sleep. None of you look particularly bad off, although Cynthia, your left arm is becoming increasingly hard to move around. It hurts quite a bit, but you can't tell that just from looking at you.
Okay.
Well, now, what'd you do? Hit a deer? Pretty common hereabouts.
Don't rightly know. They just had a bit of a bang on the head there and seemed to have trouble remembering what happened.
Doesn't look like we hit anything, though. Mostly ran up the road.
Well, make yourselves at home. Bathroom's over there. If you wouldn't mind just keeping yourselves downstairs, we're going to put the kids to sleep. I'll be back down to check on you in a bit. Otherwise, he looks at, you know, some of your clothing's all wet and everything, and he kind of shakes his head and says, go ahead, sit on the couch if you want. Sheriff will be here soon enough. That ambulance coming as well.
Thank you.
All right, so you guys are alone for a bit.
Yep.
Anything you want to discuss, you go right ahead.
I'm immediately going to have a nosy around just some of the obvious stuff, just because, you know, I'm noisy.
Mostly a farmhouse. I mean, they collect some farming memorabilia. Like he's got some old John Deere parts that have been lovingly cleaned up, bronzed, and put out on display. There's a buck. You know, in your mind, you have no idea. It's got lots of points. I guess they call them points, you think? Stuffed on the wall.
Yeah.
Glassy eyes staring at you remorselessly.
Yep.
It's a 10 point. Yay.
Big, huge fireplace. Looks like at some point it got converted to a gas burning. You note that somewhere in the back of your head that modification had been made. You're not exactly sure why that came to mind, but it's like, oh, yeah, they've done this. They've done this modification here. Fairly well-to-do family, looks like. If they get by on farming, they must be doing pretty well, you think.
No sign of any chainsaw-wielding maniacs in the history of family photos.
Lots of family photos around, actually. Mostly, it looks like they've got two young sons. And they show them, like, you know, climbing apple trees and shooting their first deer, things like that. But yeah, so if you guys got nothing to talk about other than you poking around.
Cynthia, Rick, you got anything to say?
I have no idea what's going on, man. This is too weird.
Not too long, and before the farmer comes back down, you guys can hear the sirens coming up the driveway, and you kind of take out a look out the window, and there is an ambulance. Looks like they have gotten here faster than the police. And there's a couple of young men, medic bags in tow, coming up to the front, knock on the door.
From
upstairs, saying, go ahead, answer it.
Yeah, it's the ambulance. Call up as I go to answer the door.
Two paramedics
Over
the door. Ah, yeah, we got a report that you guys need an ambulance out here.
We're in an accident. Half mile, we managed to get this far, but had some head trauma. I sort of steer off a bit.
I hurt my shoulder. Pretty badly.
But no one's in dire need. No sucking chest wounds. No one's lost a lot of blood. Cleo is kind of a small place. We don't have a hospital, but we do have an urgent care facility that's 24 hours. Nearest hospital is going to be over in St. Mary's, about 20 miles away. But y'all don't look like you're too banged up. We'll give you a lift.
Having trouble remembering things.
Maybe check for concussions or something. We're having problems.
Would you say that? Yeah, the guy comes up and he gets out a small pen light and he says, well, here, look into this light. And he kind of looks you over, takes your pulse. The other guy does the same thing. He lays down his bag. Richard, you said you're having issues. So he's doing the same thing. It's like, well, no signs of concussion. You're saying you're having memory issues?
Yes.
Well, could be trauma. What happened to you guys? They're taking all your vitals while he's kind of keeping the conversation.
Look around and shrug. Car accident?
Oh, okay. Yeah. He starts rattling off some things that could probably be, could be brain trauma. You could have a complete dislocation of the spinal column. His friend's kind of mumbling under his breath. Yeah, I saw one of these. The guy had an accident, and 5 days later, he dropped dead. He was fine until then, though.
Could your head could be decapitated, you know, any other thing.
He said something about micro traumas in the brain, and you know, when he had the accident, it just took 5 days for his body to figure it out.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Could one of you take a look at my shoulder, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. He helps you off with your coat, and it's like, ooh, yeah, looks like you got a dislocated shoulder there. Here, I tell you what. He puts his hand on your shoulder and grabs your wrist. He's like, turn your head to the right and count to five.
One, two, three.
Before you even get to two, he gives a sharp tug and a push with his hand, and it's a really painful at first, but then it feels better, and you've got your range of motion back. Downstairs, farmer comes back down.
Downstairs? He's in the basement all of a sudden.
he comes downstairs.
Right.
You guys are downstairs. He's from upstairs.
Yeah.
Ah. Hey, boys. Busy night. And they're like, and they kind of give him a little tip of their cap. Says, no, just your call here. And farmer's waves. Ma, I called the sheriff too. You might want to wait around for him to show up before you take off. If there's an accident, you know, he's going to have to write a report. And if he's got to chase you down, well, you know how his temper is. And they're like, well, I mean, they probably got some kind of head trauma. We probably shouldn't wait. I mean, we may end up having to go to St. Mary's anyway. And he's like, all right, boys, I'll send the sheriff along. You go on, go ahead. His daddy still owes me for a couple of head of cow anyway. He can't get too mad at me. You go on.
I just see us every now and then just sort of swaying back and forth a bit. Yeah.
You actually feel fine other than the fact that your memory is just shot. And it seems to be very specific. Like you have no idea. You have no idea who you are, anything about your history, but you know perfectly well everything around you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a common name for that kind of amnesia, but I can't remember what it is. That's a common type of amnesia. Not that I would necessarily know that, but yeah, it's a common type of amnesia.
Sure. Well, they load you all up, to the rescue vehicle, and they take you off to Clio, to the urgent medical care center. They do get just some basic instructions as to where your wreck is, so they can call that in. They want to make sure it's not going to cause any further problems on the road.
I can't remember. Was the door on the grass or on the road?
It was in the grass.
Okay. Oh, there might be some broken glass or something. Who knows?
So, you show up. You go through the whole admittance paper thing. You guys have no idea who you are, but your billfold is filled with... well, apparently I have insurance.
I am. Look at card. Doug Stinson, born. Look at card.
Yeah. So you're all taken up for x-rays, told to wait. If any of you feel like you're getting tired or falling asleep, they'll have a nurse keep checking on you. They don't want anybody falling asleep. If you did have a concussion, that's dangerous. So, they feed you more coffee.
I thought that was a myth.
No. It's a thing. We want to keep you up. If you had any kind of head trauma, it's best to keep you engaged. Sometimes you can just go into a coma.
And this is Clio? This is the town of Clio? Yep,
this is the town of Clio. You're at little bubble 8 there in the middle of town.
We're not on the map.
Oh, you guys aren't on the map. Okay. Here, have a map.
Doink. Oh, look, we're in bubble 8. Yep.
All right, so you guys are waiting a good hour. The doctor comes out to see you, and he has you all come over to the light wall where he puts up your x-rays. He says, well, you all check out, other than the abrasions that some of you have that are very consistent with car accident. Everything looks fine. There doesn't appear to be any problem. No skull fracturing, no whiplash. Everything looks good. There's no swelling in any of the brain. I understand all of you are saying that you're having memory issues. Correct?
Yeah.
All
right.
Yes.
So you haven't heard of us, have you?
I'm afraid not. No.
TSF?
He just shakes his head. Well, what do you know about yourself? How far back does your memory loss go? Like, can you remember where you were yesterday? Apparently, you don't remember who you are. Yeah, both all of you are. You can't yeah. remember a single day before today.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Well, we can hold you for more observations. We can run some blood tests. But really, you know, we're not really set up to do any kind of, you know, we don't have a CAT scan facilities, anything like that. We can send you on up to St. Mary's in Saginaw. It's a pretty, it's a fair stretch from here. But, I mean, you seem fine. You know, there's a chance it might be a what do they call that? Well, I'm not a psychologist. I can't think of the term offhand, but it might be a psychosomatic issue where you got, well, of course, you don't remember if you were experiencing any trauma recently, but well, you check out. So if you want, I could recommend a hotel here in Clio. Sleep it off. You might feel better in the morning.
Apparently.
Physically, you're fine.
How about this Coach and Lantern Motel? Is that getting good?
Oh, yeah, actually, it's the only hotel in Clio. There are a few folks that worked out a room or two.
But can you point to where it is on the map? Because it's not highlighted on the map. It's apparently it's not a place of interest.
Yeah, it's basically just in downtown.
They may want to put that. I don't know if you've got a chance to give them feedback, but tell them to put that on the map because it's kind of an obvious thing to miss.
Yeah. I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So he said, well, he says it's up to you. I mean, we can, we'll have to, we've only got the one ambulance, so we can't take you there. I mean, we'll have to arrange some kind of transportation for you in the morning. We can call them and have them send one of their fleets up. But again, it won't be until sometime tomorrow.
Well, we can just, yeah, just say we can just go to the, I assume the hotel's close enough that we can just walk there.
Yeah. Actually, he tells you, just go right out the front entrance here and take two lefts. Can't miss it. And also, he hands you a card. He hands one to each of you, actually. It's like, yeah, if you have any problems, go ahead and call this number. Facility is 24 hours. If you don't get a hold of me, I've made everyone here aware of your condition. We'll help out as you need. And if you decide you want that ambulance ride to St. Mary's, well, we'll work it out for you. But otherwise, I'd say get some sleep and see how you feel in the morning. By this time, it's about 11 p.m., you're noticing, by the clock in the lobby.
Okay.
Well, I go directly to room number 5 and I knock on the door.
That's your room, right? Okay.
Yes.
So you, this is just like a one-story motel. It's not very big. It has about 50 rooms, but it's all like one floor. Well, there's no answer.
I try the key.
It works.
You guys are welcome to come with me if you're curious. I'm curious to see what's in my room.
Well, we need to look in all the rooms.
Right.
We should also just ask if there's a desk clerk, we can just ask them when we check down stuff.
Okay. Before we do that, just real quick, since Richard, you just ran to your room, but we could check it out. There are several T-shirts laying on the bed that see TSF on it. These are a little bit different. As you turn it around and you actually see on the back, it says the supernatural files are printed on the back.
Oh, God, that's right. I had like 3 or 4 different suspicions as to what kind of people we were, and that was one of them.
Oh, my God.
There's also a manila folder that's laying on the bed as well that looks like you had been looking through it, or someone in this room had been looking through it. And if you wouldn't mind, I am going to – do you guys see something that just popped up on the screen there?
Nope.
No?
No.
All right, hold on.
So we do mind. Ha.
How about now?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Richard, can you read that for me?
We'll have to zoom in. Yep. Flyo, Michigan. It has been 4 days since the parents of 15-year-old... Well, sorry, the title is Clio Teen Missing. Still missing. So, parents of 15-year-old Tiffany Jensen, reported her missing after she failed to come home from a bonfire party at a friend's house. On Friday, a group of Tiffany's classmates gathered to celebrate the end of another school year, a tradition followed by many Clio teens for years. The party was held behind the barn of a farm owned by the family of one of the high school students, but it has become apparent that it wasn't supervised, that underage drinking and drug use may have been involved. It has also become known that a group of kids then partook of another Clio tradition, scaring themselves by daring each other to enter the long-abandoned Cooper House. The Cooper House is a local haunted house where the notorious Andy Cooper went crazy and murdered his wife and child in 1965. According to one 17-year-old, a bunch of us walked to the Cooper House, and then one by one, we had to go in alone, find something, and bring it out as proof. Well, I remember Tiffany going into the house, and I didn't think she came back out, but I'm not sure. A lot of us were kind of drunk by then. Both state and local police searched the Cooper House and the surrounding cornfields and woods, but reported no signs of the missing girl. Chief Wallman of the Clio Police Department issued a brief statement. "We are treating this as a missing persons case. There is no evidence that the girl was abducted, nor are we working under the assumption that she ran away. Right now, all we know is that Miss Jensen is missing, and we're not ruling any possibility out."
Okay. So that's a one bit of interesting stuff that is found in your room. Not much else in your room. Dave Stenson went in to check
Doug.
Doug Stimson.
I've got one thing to remember, and I'm going to remember it.
check at the counter.
If there's someone there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as you're approaching it, you have the first bit of a returning memory. As you're approaching the front desk, you're sitting in the passenger seat of the van. Next to you is the lady she's Cynthia Smith. You hear her say, "This looks like it's the only game in town." And the van pulls into this motel's parking lot. From behind you, "All right, let's get some rooms and then something to eat. I'm starving. Dinner's on me." And this is from Rick.
My $28.
Well, this might be why you only had $28.
And then another voice that you don't recognize. And as you turn around, you catch a glimpse of long red hair and a woman giggling. And then the memory's done. And you're standing in front of the desk. Elderly couple Bob and Ann Sawyer run the motel. You can tell this because there's a picture of them right above the desk. But currently, there is Lisa, by her name tag, who seems to be a late 20-ish woman who's looking bored, flipping through TV channels as you walk up. She actually has a big smile on her face as you come up. She says, "Hey, how's the TV show going?"
Yeah, it's happening. I just wanted to check our booking to make sure everything was all good.
Well, you still have 3 more days that's been paid up for in all 4 of your rooms.
Okay, great. So just to check the paperwork, when did we first get a room here?
3 days ago.
Okay, and that was for the 4 of us.
Yeah.
Me and Cynthia and...
Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm pausing to let her finish it. If she does.
And Lynn? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, we've got to double check these things.
And she puts out her left hand and she kind of moves the ring around. You know, I don't mind a little flirting, you know, but I am married. I told you this the last time.
Well, you can't really blame a guy for trying, can you? There's someone like you.
Oh, she's all smiles when you're saying this.
Yeah, well. Oh, I just wanted to, you know, check in. You know, I was going to be in my room.
No, it's all good. Lynn's credit card got approved just fine. You guys have an open tab. Feel free to clear out your honor bar. It's all on the tab.
Fantastic news. Right. Looking over, is there any mail for us? I'm looking over to see if the keys in the slot room 4, I assume.
Nope. This is an old-timey hotel where, in fact, the keys are hanging on a pegboard, and the whole 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all missing. She turns around to look and starts rummaging through, and she says, no, nothing. Some junk mail, just, a couple of coupons at local restaurants. She just pulls it all out of each one of your holes and lays it over. Just junk mail.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lisa. Right, yes. Thank you. I'll be...
Anytime.
Get you back to my room now.
Big smile. Yeah. And then she goes back to flipping the shop. During all of this, so Cynthia, you are doing what? Rick is checking out his room.
I'm checking out my room.
Checking out your room, Cynthia. Okay. Okay, so there's a laptop in your room. You have a nice wardrobe of very similar looking clothing as you do now, but in a couple of different shades of color. You have like a class A makeup kit. Like this is like several grand worth of high quality makeup in here. You also have a manila envelope on your desk.
Okay. I'm going to take a look at it.
And if you could read that one.
Okay. Unidentified body found. Mysterious circumstances abound. Cleo, Michigan. Last night, the body of a yet unidentified man was found in a cornfield in the small town of Cleo, with no clue as to how the man came to be where he was discovered. The closest building was a farmhouse on McCumsey Road that has been abandoned for well over a decade.
Did you lose it?
Yeah.
All right. There, did that pop it back up?
No.
No? Let's see. I can finish it off for you. Where did you get? Did you find it?
The first paragraph.
Okay. The closest building was a farmhouse on McComsey Road that has been abandoned for well over a decade. Locals have begun to be questioned, but so far no one has reported anyone missing. Police claim they are not ruling anything out, but they said that this case does not look to be one of foul play. One person close to the case, who wanted to remain anonymous, said, "There's no way a man could do that to another man. It is evident that the body wasn't dead long, but there wasn't a whole lot left of it. Most of its insides were just gone. To me, it looked like a bear or something large and hungry got a hold of the poor fellow. When asked about the possibility of an animal attack, the Clio police declined to comment on the record." Okay. And then other than that, like I said, you do have a laptop computer.
Okay, I'm going to try looking at the laptop, opening the laptop.
Right. It was basically just in sleep mode, and no password key comes up. It just pops back on. All over the desktop are a bunch of, what say, B-roll coverage and dates. It's all from the same day, different times.
Well, okay. And what's it a feed of?
Okay. It's a whole bunch of snippets of silent coverage from the outside of the Cooper house and various shots of the town of Clio, woods, cornfields, that sort of thing. There's about 3 hours worth, and you're just kind of just fast going, you know, just quickly moving through them. It's obviously shot to be background filler or establishing shots for your episode. There's the music and narration has not been put in yet. This is, you know, and you're the face, right? So like you're prominent in all the video.
Ah, okay. I see. Is there anyone else in any of the videos?
No, just you. But obviously someone's holding the camera.
Yeah. And most of it was shot during the day?
Yeah, it was all shot of the day. Actually, all the footage was shot within 3 hours during the middle of the day yesterday by the timestamp.
Okay. Well, the day yesterday, 3 hours. Huh, okay. All right. Is the laptop plugged in?
No.
I'm going to plug it in. I'm going to plug it in and make sure that it has some juice.
Okay. Meanwhile, Doug, as you're finishing up downstairs, you're about to head over to your room. The door to the hotel opens and someone dressed in sheriff, you know, county sheriff garb comes in and says, Hey, Mr. Stinson, was it? He takes his hat off as he...
I also pause before I say, yes.
Evening, Lisa. Got the late shift tonight, I see. Yeah, you bet. You bet, Kennedy. Sure do. He nods and says, well, give your best to your husband there. And he winks at her and she winks back. Oh, yes. Mr. Stinson, got a call that there was an accident involving a rental van out on 75. He hands over, shows you his cell phone. It's got a photograph of the license plate of the van. That your van? You the one that called us in from the farmstead out there?
Yeah, I assume it does look like our van. I didn't take note of the plate at the time.
But you say it is.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you don't mind, a few questions, and if the four of you can, we can do this in your room. There's no need to come down.
Yeah, come on up. All over.
So he waits until he grabs, you know, gets the three of you, and I guess you're all going into Doug's room. Doug, this is actually the first time you're in your room.
Yep. Hey, do you want to give me my clipping to read?
Well, it depends on whether or not you want to read it while the officer.
Well, he's got to get the other two, and then I'm going to tell him. Well, yeah.
You've got.
I will at some point be reading it, obviously. Okay, we'll wait for me to have a moment. I just want to get out of the way for the audience or not is the question.
Well, the other two notice that your room is more packed than theirs are. You've got several bits of luggage, more of those plastic cases in here.
I'm the tech guy.
You've actually got like a carry-on satchel. There's digital audio tapes laying all over your bed. Have you ever seen a DAT tape before? They're kind of small. Okay, yeah. So you've got a bunch of digital audio tapes laying around. Officer comes in. And he pulls out a little memo pad. Says, "Where's Lynn Cartwright?"
She wasn't with us.
Oh, okay. He just makes a note of that. Good enough. So, if you all wouldn't mind just telling me what happened, signs of any sudden breaking out there. Just looked like the van ran off the road. There was a thunderstorm that started around the time that accident took place. I'm guessing that you just slid on the road.
We look confused and lost.
I really don't remember what happened.
Well, I stopped by the Clio, what passes for a hospital here, and Doc said that you were suffering from some form of amnesia. Is that true, all three of you?
I nod.
Yes, officer. Sheriff.
All right, so...
All I remember is waking up in the field, and obviously I was thrown out of the van, the back of the van.
Huh, so you really don't know what happened?
Probably tried to avoid a deer, and we slid up the road.
Well, there were no signs of any swerving either. It looks like you just ran right off the road, folks. Now, no one got hurt, and there's not a legal matter, mind you. I'm just responding to a call, so I've got to fill in the paperwork. We had that van hauled back into town. It's in the mechanic shop now. Should be good to go sometime tomorrow.
Great.
So, you don't remember anything, huh?
Have you met us before? Have you interviewed us? So we interviewed you?
Yeah, you did. You did. Back on the 16th yesterday, I'd asked that you, if you were going to use anything that you recorded, that you alter my voice. You don't remember that, do you?
Sure, kid.
Well, I guess that's just as well. I didn't think it was a good idea at the time, and thinking even less of it now.
Okay. I sort of look around. Has anyone checked Lynn's room?
Well, the officer just stares. It's like, is there a problem?
We've got the three of us.
No, you said Lynn wasn't with you during the accident.
No. Is she in her room?
Okay, he looks a little concerned. He says, well, let's go check. Anyone knock yet? Anyone?
I haven't. I've been in my room.
All right. He goes over and knocks on the room. Tries again and calls out. Lynn? Lynn? This is Officer Joseph Kennedy. Lynn, could you come to the door?
What room was she in?
4. You guys have keys 3, 5, and 6. Hers is room 4.
Yep.
I'll be right back, folks. Let me go talk to Linda at the front desk. I'm going to get the key.
Lisa.
Lisa. Yeah. It's spreading, this amnesia.
Yeah.
Lisa, let me get the room key. We have a probability that something might have happened to her here. I'm sure she won't mind. Yeah. Okay, so the officer leaves for a bit.
Okay. We've been here a couple of days. We've got apparently Lynn paid for it, and we've got a couple more days yet. That's all I know. Did you find out anything?
Apparently they've nope. gotten their names too. Yes.
This would be where you part any information that you found. Are you there? Did they fall off the queue? No, they're there.
No, they're still there.
Hello? Sharon? Richard?
Sharon? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Now we can. Richard, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. You just have nothing to say.
I have nothing to say. I don't remember anything.
So the sheriff has completely left?
Yes, he's going to go to retrieve the key to room 4.
Okay. All right. I'm going to basically rubberneck.
Oh, did you find anything in your rooms of interest?
Yes. There's a folders clipping and some filler backgrounder footage.
And I have a clipping too that I show you guys.
Yeah, you can just say, well, just borrowing convention from us, where you can just say blah to just repeat what you read, but we heard, obviously, because we were paying, because we were listening to the call.
Right. Yes. So I'm going to blah my clipping.
Right. Look at Rick.
Same thing. Blah.
Cool. Right. So did we find something that made us run away really quickly? Wonder if I have a clipping. Whatever. Apparently we ran away so hard we don't have Lynn.
Yep, there you go. You also have a manila bed. Something else that you notice, though, all these digital audio tapes you have laying on your bed, all well and good, but you're looking around and you don't actually see a tape player or recorder anywhere.
Yeah, I'm expecting they're at the house. So I'll read the clipping that I have. No Horrors for Local Haunted House by Susan Marsh. In case you missed it, our very own Clio was to be the site of a horror movie made by a production house from Canada called Seven Gate Films. The star of the show? The long-rumoured to be haunted Cooper House. According to film producer Trevor Cunningham, we had heard about the tragic story behind Mr. Cooper, what he did to his family, and his mysterious death in prison, combined with some of the legends that have been in Clio for years, and we thought it would make a great setting for a modestly budgeted direct-to-DVD horror film shot in the found footage style. Dear God, I hope not. Sounds terrible already. So we contacted the mayor and Miss Volker, the realtor who oversees the Cooper House, and we thought everything was a go. We came down from Vancouver to set things up on this end. However, some vocal locals also learned of a movie being made about an infamous Cooper home and petitioned City Council to revoke the filming permits needed by the Canadian company to shoot here. Their reasoning being that a bloody horror movie was the wrong kind of image for the city of Clio. Proponents of the movie cited the boon to local businesses that hosting a film crew would bring to Clio, but yesterday the city councilled 3-2 against letting the movie be shot here, said Mr. Cunningham. Naturally, we're upset and confused by the ruling. We never intended to exploit your town or any of its tragedy, and many business owners here have said they were happy to have us, but I guess what's done is done, and we'll just have to do another haunted house story in some other town that wants us. Because there's not enough fake horror movie film and found footage movies around that you can film and shake a stick at, and they're all terrible. There may have been some editorializing by James in there.
So as you finish reading that, the sheriff comes back up with a key, and Lisa is there, and she says, oh, just for the protection of our client, you know, I've got to be present for this. Sheriff opens the room, and much like yours, there's some clothing around, there's a manila folder on the bed, but there is no sign of Lynn.
And I assume it's in the same state as our rooms, as we had to go off to do some job. She never came back.
two suitcases neatly laid by the single bed. She has a laptop computer on a small desk. One of the suitcases is open, closed toiletry, a Stephen King paperback. Yep, that's pretty much it. And then, of course, the manila envelope. Want to grab right away with the sheriff. Up to you.
Oh, yeah, but the sheriff's in the way, so we can't just, you know, dodge around him and grab it.
Look, well, he pokes around a bit and looks in the bathroom and he says, well, looks like she just stepped out. No signs of anything amiss here. This is my shift, so I'll be on duty for the next 12 hours or so. If you folks need anything, just give me a ring. From what I hear at the hospital, probably you all should get a good night's sleep. Maybe it'll resolve some of your memory issues and we can talk better tomorrow. Why don't you, when you've had some breakfast and gotten your bearings, why don't you come down to the police station and just let me know how things are going and if you've come across Lynn. If not, we'll start looking around for her. Fair? She may have just gone out for a late dinner. And he looks down. It's like 11:40 now. It's like not really a lot open this late, but we do have a 24-hour gas station and grocery store. I suppose I'll drive by there. Well, I'll bring her back if I happen to see her there. But otherwise, just come on down. Fill me in tomorrow and tell me if we need to be looking for a missing person. All right?
Yep.
All right.
Speaking of things that should be on the map, I can see the way they won't put it on the map because it's a general tourist map, but you want the Cooper household, the players will want to really know where the Cooper's household is.
Yeah. All right, yes, and I'll read this one. She has a clipping in her vanilla, her folder as well. Clio, Michigan. Yesterday, the small farming community of Clio in Genesee County was shocked to its core when one of their own apparently went mad with deadly results. John Cooper, age 51, a farmer, war veteran, volunteer fireman, and man held in a high regard in a small community of less than 1,800 souls, murdered his wife, Edna, age 45, and their son, Thomas, age 15. The town sheriff was called out to the Cooper house in the early morning after nearest neighbors heard multiple gunshots coming from the direction of the house. By the time Sheriff Snyder made it out to the Cooper residence, both the mother and child were dead, and according to the officials, John had mutilated the bodies after death, cutting them open and removing much of their insides. According to Chef Snyder, Mr. Cooper was in the front yard when I pulled up. He was splattered with blood, babbling with tears running down his face. He was digging at the ground with his bare hands, cursing at it, and next to him was his pump shotgun. I approached carefully and asked him what had happened, but all he said was, "They got to us somehow. I don't know when, but they were inside them. My Edna and my boy, they're inside me too." I apprehended Mr. Cooper without incident. And once my deputy arrived, I inspected the house and found Mr. Cooper and her sons in their bedrooms in a horrible state. There were several empty shotgun shells on the floor, and it was plain that Mr. Cooper had butchered the bodies after death. Mr. Cooper is now in Genesee County Jail awaiting arraignment.
And that was in 1965, right?
Yeah.
Well, we could either get some sleep or we could just charge straight for the Cooper household right now where obviously the big encounter is going to be. Midnight. It's the best time to go to a haunted house is at midnight. You know that.
Yeah, we don't have a key.
Everybody give me a D100.
Okay. Exactly even. Ooh.
And Sharon? Okay. Sharon and Richard, you both spot it. There is a notepad laying in one of her bags. Top page had been torn off, but there's still an impression on the next page down.
We use a pencil.
Yep.
I was busy reading that clipping. That's why I didn't notice it.
Yeah, probably so. Let's see. Richard. You have the skill spot hidden. You are awfully good at seeing. Let's write that down somewhere. All right. And what is on this seems to be a list, from what you can tell. It is a list of people that you interviewed earlier yesterday. And save this. And there you go.
Let's see. Bob, Bobby Joe, Joe, Bob, and Bobby Joe.
Basically, the mayor, Chief Donald Matthews, Vanessa Volker, the Baker family declined the interview. Baker family was the farmhouse that you just came from. The Graver family, Joseph Kennedy, James Burke and Allen, Lily Ospen. So some of these say that they were interviewed. The one says declined interview. So most of these happened on the 16th and the 17th.
Yeah, and
today is, well, yesterday was the 17th. It's almost midnight. So we'll say yesterday was the 7th. So there you go. That's what you find in her stuff. She also has a laptop in here.
Okay. Plug hers in and open it.
Okay.
Make sure it's plugged in and open it. Hers
was powered off, so you are presented with a password screen.
Hmm. Rick, how's your hacking skills?
I don't know. I can try.
Give me a D100 roll. Yeah, not your forte. You don't seem to know your way around a computer. The first thing you think of is, have you tried turning it on and off?
Try 1, 2, 3, ABC.
Yep. Does Doug want to give it a shot?
You can try. It depends. Does it doing this look like it's going to screw it up? As in, does it like you have three passes or you have three tries?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Okay. Well, I'll just push the button and see. Not a clue. This is a computer?
Actually, you know your way around a computer pretty well. And the first thing you think of is, well, let's reboot it, get into the BIOS, let's clear out the password. But you notice that hers actually has a significant amount of hardware protection on it. Like, this woman takes her security pretty seriously, or there's something very serious on the laptop and corporate has sealed it up. But so you have computer use is another skill of yours.
Okay.
Does it look like more or less security than on my laptop?
Oh, a hell of a lot more than on yours.
Okay.
But I wasn't actually able to get into it.
No. You're just able to tell that this one has a lot more security.
Right. Yeah. So we can either go to sleep or we can race for the Cooper household, which we don't know where it is.
Well, let's see. If interviewed on camera, perhaps like some of that film footage, that those filler shots on my laptop might have some of that information, some of those interviews.
Yeah, it's possible, but all of yours was B footage without the audio. You suspect highly that his
it's going to be on the DAT tapes, and they're probably going to be where the computers are. And I don't have any way of playing them at the moment anymore.
Well, see, there's a...
Get some sleep and come at this in the morning and see if I make any.
Yeah. And then go visit the Cooper house. Unless you want to try to re-interview some of the people that we interviewed. Yep, get some sleep.
I'm just mainly worried as to what made us, as it were, run off in the van in the first place.
Yeah. And I wonder if we left Lynn behind for some reason.
Which is most likely to be at the Cooper household.
Yeah.
All right, so it sounds like everyone's going to get a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, I have two questions. The bakers and the Cooper house farmsteads are on the same road.
You don't know where the Cooper house is, so.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
We can look up the realtor's website, see if it's any of her listings.
Yeah, you do have a working computer.
It's true.
Okay.
So,
Rick, you thought of that. And so you look around Volker Realty Office. If you start looking around, you do find her property listing. And one of the ones way at the back is, in fact, the Cooper resident. So it looks like Volker Realty holds the title for the Cooper farmstead. And there is an address. And no, they're on opposite ends of town. They're not close to each other.
Oh, okay.
But based on the location of the Cooper house, were we driving away from
away
it?
Or from it. Towards... driving away from it.
That's weird.
So the Cooper house would be down here, and the Baker house is over here.
Okay. And what was the, what's the address of the Cooper house?
You get address of Cooper house.
1313 Mockingbird Lane.
It's basically, it's off Interstate 75, just south instead of north. So you were heading away from it.
Okay. Just trying to figure out if it was the same as that road.
Oh, it's on the same road.
As the unidentified body?
Oh, okay. As the unidentified body? No.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, let's get some sleep.
Yeah, we don't have a car yet, so we can't go anywhere anyway.
All right, sleep for everybody.
We abandoned Lynn to her nighttime torture.
Doug, you dream of your hands being stained in blood. One is dripping with a knife. The other, a yellowed skull covered in ruins, is grasped in your hand. It has sentimental value to you. It belonged to your great-grandfather, the first of your line to speak with the children of the grave, the man who changed your family from simple peasants to the wealthiest house of Toulouse, all thanks to the secrets of those who eat death and for the sacrifices that your family has made. A brief flash of sadness then fills you, but you quickly dismiss it. After all, your beautiful wife is still young, and you could always have more children. Give me a D100 roll.
Yeah, but what about an unusual dream? Yes, anyone. I should pass my sand roll.
Rick, drums wake you. It is the savage things again, from above, dancing, fornicating, and spilling blood in your name, trying to win your favor. Fools, you care not for worship. You only wish to slumber. It is not time for you to awaken yet, not fully. Still, now that you have roused, your hunger returns. Terrible, gnawing, unending hunger. So you sluggishly make your way through the red-lit darkness around you. Your ebony spawn slither quickly from your path. The way to the surface is long, but you have time, and the savage things above will not stop their drumming until you answer their summons. Of all the creatures that you have known over the aeons, man is the most persistent in its adulation. Give me a D100 roll.
Already smelling the good stuff.
All right. And Cynthia, before you is an undulating mass of white, grub-like things with scuttling legs like spiders. Corpulent and restless, the hordes rustle and writhe over everything and one another. They are too numerous to count, stretching out as far as your eye can see, a squirming sea of sticky, pus-colored life. There are millions of the things, and you know what they are waiting for, what they are waiting for when the time is right, to spill forth from below into the sunlit world above, to follow the will of their lord. And as alien as the creatures are, they do not repulse you, because you know that you are one of them. You wake up screaming, give me a D100 roll. Okay.
The woman wakes up screaming.
There's reasons, which I'll explain at the end of this.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Waking up, Cynthia, you wake up, not, you know, very suddenly heart racing. You're not aware that you screamed, but you are aware that there's blood all over your blankets and on the back of your hand. You reach up and you feel the sticky wetness coming from your mouth.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm going to get up and stumble to the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Rick, you wake up. It wasn't a particularly great night of sleep. It was very restless. The last bits of the dream are fading. It's another nightmare amongst many. And you sit down and you're using the toilet and your back end's a little itchy. And you reach over to clean up afterwards. And something is moving.
Moving where?
Stool as you clean off your back end.
Ew. I poke at it or something.
So you look at it. And there's something that looks like a bloated white maggot. And if you kind of poke at it, spider-like legs descend from it, and it goes scuttling off the tissue into a far corner of the bathroom. Doug, you wake up starving. You feel like you haven't eaten in days. Your belly rumbles. You feel a little weak. Feel like your sugar crashing a little bit. That coffee, several cups of coffee from last night, likely were poured over an empty stomach. So you're feeling a little heartburn this morning. Just ravenous.
All right. Well, and this is a cafe here. You did mention a 24-hour place not that far away.
Yep. This is none of you slept particularly long. So all of you are waking somewhere between 5 and 6 in the morning. After getting, you know, 5 or 6 hours of sleep, essentially.
All right, get up, feel starving, get dressed, and head out for the cafe.
All right, you going to go by yourself?
Yeah, I'm too hungry to care about the others. Okay,
in the cafe, we're just going to kind of move along a little quicker here. You order a big breakfast.
Yep.
Waffles, lots of bacon, side of sausage, another side of bacon, some grits. Big glass of orange juice, and your tummy, your stomach is just rumbling. You're so hungry, and you take one of those sausage links, pierce it with your fork, and you go to bite it with your mouth. And then suddenly, as you're starting to chew it, it's like you spit it out. Like you can't breathe. It feels like you're choking, and you have a memory flash. Find it here. All right. The memory flash is you're being held helpless. Strong voice seems to reverberate in your skull saying, "Do you want to live?" And you don't know what your answer is, but a sluggish octopus-like tendril is snaking down your throat, going deep, deep down your esophagus into your stomach. And it's just a quick flash of this memory. And just trying to put the food in your mouth is just too much. It causes this memory to come up and you can't swallow. It feels like you're smothering, having something forced down your throat, and you just spit it out on the table. Meanwhile, again, your stomach is just rumbling in hunger.
Yay!
You need some Pepto-Bismol or something.
All right, so Cynthia and Rick, you're both up early too. Having not slept particularly well. Cynthia, you go to the bathroom to rinse off, and it looks like sometime during the night you had a really bad nosebleed. It just bled all over your face, all over your sheets.
Oh, great. Okay. Then I'll take a nice, nice hot shower, and is there like a place to put dirty linens?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a hamper there for linen service to come.
Yeah. Okay. Put the hamper there. You know, put everything in the hamper. And after that, and I'm gonna take a large bill and not 100, but like
you got some 20s in there too.
Yeah, like a 20 and. saying sorry, I had a nosebleed for the clean. And taped to the hamper, and then this calls for some coffee, so I'm going to head out towards that 24-hour cafe thing.
Oh, sure. You'll be passing by about the time that Doug is having his episode. Rick.
So is that spidery thing still in my bathroom?
You have no idea. It scuttled off into one of the dark corners of the bathroom.
I tried to use a flashlight and find it.
Okay, give me a D100 roll.
Maybe I'm hallucinating. No,
you just can't find it. Maybe you were hallucinating. Because otherwise, that thing just come out of your rear end.
Well, then if I don't find it, I just head to the cafe like the others.
All right. So you'll show up third and last. All right. So, yeah, Cynthia, Rick, you all run into Doug, who's got these mound of food sitting in front of him, but he seems to be not able to eat it.
Can I drink at least?
You can drink. Right. Seems to be anything that's soft and mushy enough, you can choke it down, but anything firmer than that, you just can't. You have the grits and you have the water and orange juice.
Yep, pretty much.
Are you going to eat that sausage?
Ugh. I look at it hungry, but then turn away sick. Then look at it hungrily again. Turn away sick.
Well, I practice my border house reach spirit with a fork and drag it on over.
You have no idea what his problem is. This is pretty good. That's maple seasoning in there. Nice smoked sausage. All right. What is your plan?
Shoot everyone. Oh, wait.
I say we go to the Cooper house. Maybe Lynn is there for some reason.
Well, we should go either. You know, we need to go check on the car as well.
Yeah.
All right. It's a local gas station is also the local garage. And yeah, they've got the van ready. They got it all fixed up. The guy there, Gus, is like, "Well, good thing that you paid the $3 for the insurance." He hands the keys over. "Not too bad. Just had to pull a few dents. Everything was fine. You had a small hole in your gas tank. That's all fixed up. She's all ready to go." Hands you the keys.
And the door's ripped off.
Ah, no big
deal. The window was smashed. So we'll move on just a few dents.
A few dents. Yeah, it looks like you did a pretty good job. Okay. Now just sign here and here for the insurance, and we'll just get this passed on to the rental agency.
I sign it.
All right, you got your wheels back.
Okay, now let's head over towards the Cooper house.
All right, you have an address, so you head on over. So you're behind the wheel now, Cynthia, and you get on the interstate, and you just can't help get that lead foot. You just want to red line that engine. So you have the drive skill.
Okay.
you've got the feel of how it handles. You know, you're whipping it around pretty well. You know, you're probably going much faster than the speed limit.
Why we crashed?
All right, so you guys get to the outside of the Cooper house. Get outside of the van. Everybody go ahead and give me 100.
13, 21, and...
46.
46, all right, that was yours.
Okay. Sharon, did I tell you to write down a notice skill or a find hidden? Or was that? That was Rick, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have spot in.
All right. So Rick and Doug notice the deep tire treads on the muddy grass here matches your van. Not the ones you just made, but ones that were already here.
Apparently we were here before.
The front door already hangs open.
Cautiously go up to the front door. Lynn?
Okay. You call out. You scare a few crows that are in a tree nearby, but other than that, there's no response.
All right, let's bring flashlights and go in.
Okay. Just inside the front door, you find what you believe is some of your abandoned filming equipment, light stands, audio cables, a cooler filled with melted ice, warm sodas, and energy drinks. Soggy submarine sandwiches sit in the middle of the floor. None of this looks like it was dropped in haste. It's all been neatly stacked against one of the walls of the living room. The ground floor here consists of a kitchen, a full bathroom, and a side room. Looks like it might have been a study or a sewing room. A few closets, odd bits of furniture left behind. There's a table in the kitchen, a couch in the living room, torn apart by animals that were nested in it for some time, it looks like.
Okay, I'm looking for where we set up the computer, the main tech hub.
Okay, nothing set up here. This looks like it was just a staging area. So you're going to take a look around. There's an upstairs and there's downstairs.
Is there a basement and an attic?
Yes. the attic, dear. What is it? The attic and sub-attic.
There's the anti-attic and the anti-basement.
Yes, there we go.
Hopefully it's not a Michigan basement.
Well, we are in Michigan, so... I'll look around, see if I can find that. Just wander around, see if I'm getting into trouble and get killed and start.
Well, the basement door is open, and one of your microphones is laying on the stair here. So this looks like it was dropped in haste.
It's unlikely you would... Setting up the main tech area in the basement is kind of odd, though. I would expect that to be in one of the main rooms around here. If you want to check out the basement?
Let's go see the basement.
Taking a look in the basement, you find more of your bits of your gear, TV equipment scattered about. There's a light meter. There's a shooting script for the host, which is Cynthia, apparently.
Okay.
Everybody give me D100 rolls.
Spot. Spot guy gets it.
Yep. So Richard and Sharon, both of you notice that all of you notice there are a lot of tracks, not just like boot prints or shoe prints, but also handprints. Some of them look like there's dried blood in them. Rick and Cynthia, you're able to track a bit better than your friend Doug here. And you notice that they all lead to a spot on the back wall. There's a seam that runs around the wall. It looks like this is probably some sort of hidden feature here. The seam is really well integrated stonework, though. Very hard to tell. But both of you guys, especially Rick, is very good at this sort of thing.
There's something hidden in the compartment or door or something here.
And as you say that, give me a second. Fine. This is a memory that you all have come up at the same time.
Oh, good. Not just me remembering things.
Not just you this time. I got them highlighted here, but this one's in a stupid place. Okay, this is an auditory memory. And so all of you kind of are recollecting hearing this. What do you mean the door's locked? I mean, it's closed and locked. I can't open it. Wait, where is... There's screaming heard in the background. What the hell is that? And all, cacophony of screaming and shouting. Get away from it. Run. How do we get out of here? And then a very powerful voice. Do you want to live? All of you remember that.
Holy crap, guys.
Yeah, you can see it in all their faces that all of you just experienced something together there.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Perhaps we should just, leave.
But we gotta find Lynn. Maybe she's behind this door.
Yeah, we could tell the sheriff and he could find her.
The sheriff? I don't know. We can't really tell him what happened because we don't know.
Best case scenario, it's one of those three on the city council doing another movie film here just pulling a prank. How about we go look around the rest of this place? That wall looks pretty shut.
All right, so you want to take a look around the rest of the house?
I do. I don't know the others.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So upstairs, three bedrooms, linen closet, half a bathroom. One bedroom still has a double bed in it. You find some used condom wrappers laying around, hypodermic needles, cigarette butts, beer cans, alcohol bottles, soup cans. Looks at some point in time, this was
party.
Yeah, these were partying and probably vagrants stayed here for a while too. But that's really all you find.
So we don't find our main tech hub?
You do not.
Huh. Look outside and see the ruined barn.
Yeah, is there an attic?
No, there was just a second floor, no real attic.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, there is a barn on the property.
All right.
We could check the barn, and we could see if we can get into that wall. That seems to be the two immediate things we could try and do. No sign of Lynn, though, so...
If you go out, take a look inside the barn. Yes, in fact, you did set up your equipment in the barn. It looks like you've gotten better reception out here. You can see there's an antenna that's been slapped and stapled to the outside wood. There's several computers set up. There's a generator that's ran out of gasoline.
So is it possible that we were recording what we were doing? So maybe we should look and see, maybe we could get a recording of what happened.
Well, yeah, that's just it. All the machines are here. Hard drives are missing. Cameras are missing.
But were we transmitting what we were recording?
Well, given that antenna outside looks like that's a satellite antenna, good chance you were transmitting.
So maybe the main office or whatever we have has the recordings.
Do you know where the main office is?
I don't remember. Do you?
You haven't done any research for your company or the show. Other than all of your driver's license say Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, we must have either a production company that's backing us or something.
Depends how big a paranormal investigation group we are. It could just be the four of us. We don't know. We haven't looked.
If we have a TV show, we must have some sort of either a channel or broadcasting corporation.
Could be a YouTube playlist.
Or it could be Spotify channel. Maybe we should go back to the hotel and check my laptop and see if there's like any sort of like company server or something that we uploaded things to.
One thing. You sure Liz not behind that door in the basement?
Oh, we do want to find out what's behind that door in the basement.
Well, there's no sign of Liz here. Liz.
Okay. How long would it take us to go back to the hotel and see if we uploaded something somewhere?
About half an hour. It's just a straight shot from the interstate, so half an hour.
Half an hour. Half an hour there. Half an hour there, grab the laptop, and we can look at it on the way back.
At least. We can also see if we've got a home office that we can ring up and talk to about this.
That's true. But we don't have a laptop in the van. We don't have a laptop in the van.
No. Back to the hotel.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the hotel. Your laptop, again, you left it running, so it's not locked out. Sure enough, there is an icon on the desk for the company server. And it looks like you guys were uploading dailies. And there was a last upload about maybe... Going by when you woke up, Cynthia, and you looked at the time on your iPhone, looks like the last upload was about 45 minutes before that.
Okay. Then pull that up and take a look at it.
Okay. So this is a little long exposition here. So what you see, you guys are going to the Cooper house. You can see in the scene, Rick, Cynthia, Lynn. You're assuming that Doug is manning the camera because you don't see him, but obviously someone's filming this. You also see a pretty blonde-haired woman dressed very fashionably, business casual. She has a badge on her rappel that you can't quite make out. But she is unlocking the door to the Cooper house and inviting you all in.
Vanessa.
Okay. Yeah.
You look around the upper floor for a bit, videotaping as you go. Lynn asks if the house has a basement, and the unknown woman says that it does. Great. What's a haunted house without a basement? Lynn says, smiling. Once in the basement, they discover, or you discover, that there's a secret door here, the one that you guys found, and you go inside to investigate. The room beyond is small, round, and made of stone with an open archway beyond. Suddenly, the door behind you closes. A cameraman flashes around, and you see just the last bit of the unknown woman as the door closes behind you. You're pounding on the door for a bit. Nothing's opening. Someone pulls out their cell phones to use as illumination. You guys are crying out, yelling, Vanessa! With no one responding. And then Lynn turns around and starts screaming. And as you turn around, the video picks up some enormous bulk that is coming down the dark tunnel that stretches out before you. There's a scurrying flood of little spider-like grubs. They look like larval, like fly grubs, but they have insect, spider-like legs on them. Everybody's screaming and panicking now, banging on the door. Rick, you fall down into a fetal position. There's nowhere to run. The thing approaches Lynn, who's cowering, and a voice, actually, you all stand as if you're listening. It didn't get caught on tape, but you can almost, each of you kind of mime what you believe that you're hearing at the time. Do you want to live? Lynn is hysterical. She starts shaking her head and babbles incoherently. And then the behemoth crushes the poor woman with one of its many legs and its huge bulk. Gore, pulp, brain, splatter. And then the thing turns to you. And again, in your heads, you can imagine the voice, do you want to live? You see on the screen, and even the camera nods. Worm-like appendages shoot out of the monster's diseased-looking flesh and shoves itself down deep into each of your throats. And then, as a memory, all of you recall the voice saying, be mine. Okay, everybody give me D100 rolls.
Yeah, 46. Right of you. Oh, dear. Oh, he's fine.
Cynthia is oddly rock solid over this. Doug, you stunned, silent, trembling. Richard, you just crap your pants. Rick craps his pants, pees in his pants. Feels like you want to run, but you're in the car. As you're watching this, actually, that's probably why Cynthia is less phased, because someone's going to be driving. So it's probably Cynthia. Because you guys said you were watching this on the way back in the van. So, Rick, you're scraping at the door, trying to open the door as Cynthia is driving at like 70 miles an hour down the highway.
That's below the speed limit. So she's driving 90.
Well, she's going 70 because she's trying to keep an eye on the video.
What the bleep?
What the holy bleep? Crap indeed.
Rick, it's not only bad that you've got crap in your drawers, but you feel things wiggling around in it. So what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Luckily, Cynthia passed her there, so she's not crashing the car.
Yeah. Sharon, any reaction that you want to give?
Sharon, you there? Are you?
What was that?
I don't know. What do we have? We have to bring in the police or the military here or something.
No, that went up to the corporate servers. No wonder the hard drives disappeared.
Ooh. At long last, I can propose the thing that every single Mythos adventure should end on. We got to burn the MF down. Let's just burn the whole place down.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah! It should always be the first reaction of any Mythos game. Burn it down! Yeah, let's get some gas and burn this place down.
So you stop off at a gas station?
Yeah! I'm all for burning it down, burn the whole thing to the ground. At least there's something in that sort of makes us not want to impact the house or anything.
Filling up 5 gallon jerry cans worth of gasoline.
I got a couple hundreds.
Yeah, the attendant's nice, fine selling it to you, but it's like, what you gotta do with all that gas?
Road trip.
And fella, I don't mean to be in your business, but you smell.
We'll be taking care of that.
Some of those grub spider things are crawling down your pant leg, scurrying away.
Did you guys see that? Oh my God.
Nope.
Nobody saw it.
Only the cleansing road trip ahead of us.
All right. Yeah. So he sells you the gasoline, and you see in your rearview mirror as you're taking off the gas, the fuel attendant's picking up the phone and making a phone call.
Fair enough. No, fair enough.
Homeland Security.
So, what's your game plan here? How do this?
Soak the place in gas, set it alight, and walk away smiling.
All right. Well, if that's your plan,
that's my plan.
Yeah. So, what do you do afterwards? We'll assume that the Cooper house is in a giant conflagration from the $300+ of gasoline.
I didn't put in $300+. I only put in maybe like $100 worth of gas. Right. Well, maybe $150. Gotta have safe.
So the Cooper house is burning down in the background as you're driving off to where? What are you guys doing?
We know that Vanessa's in on it or something. We need to have questions answered.
Sort of. We kind of, that's what I take it. There is one thing I'd almost want to do, is a little bit end scene sort of things. I don't know how much further we got to go with these things. Upload the footage to YouTube, mark it, hey, check out this great video that we filmed, and let people think it's a stunt. Because people will think it's a stunt.
Yeah. So I tell you what, let's just, because we're running over, so we're just going to do a wrap up here. So what eventually happens is, other than
we get arrested and thrown in jail. And
yeah, exactly. You are cut off by police cars and put in jail. And when you're questioned,
criminally insane.
Doug and Rick just can't hold it in to start babbling about, you know, the stuff that's going on. Of course, there's footage. You just put it on YouTube. There's footage.
Yeah.
Cynthia, you're able to keep a cleaner mind, and you're eventually able to get a hold of your corporate attorneys. End of it is that you managed to get everybody out on bail. Unfortunately, a few days later, it's in the newspaper where three prominent stars in the supernatural community were found in their homes. Some deranged killer apparently got in at night as they were essentially hollowed out, split open with all their internal organs removed.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, you were infested by this thing.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. That's the only reason we escaped is because we're invisible to hell.
Yeah. All right, so what's going on with this is a quintessential, the Cthulhu investigators all went insane at the end of their last mission. But a spell was cast on you so that in your insanity as you were fleeing, permanent insanity, you all lost all your sanity. A spell was cast on you when you accepted to live, that it removed your whole recollection of the whole event and everything surrounding it, everything, you know, everything about yourself. So that actually brought you back to sanity because you couldn't remember the events that made you insane, except for certain things. Rick was actually seeing the spider things in his mind. They weren't real. Doug, you'd picked up this phobia where you just can't swallow anything larger than a certain size. You just feel like you're choking to death because of the memory of what happened. Cynthia's didn't come up, although she had one as well. So in Call of Cthulhu stats, you guys had all gone insane. You were done. You were gone.
Okay, cool.
But wiping your memory brought you back enough. And then, but unfortunately, as you kept digging and finding out more, you brought back to that precipice of sanity again, or insanity.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so what was going on is that, yes, Volker was a scion of the creature in the tunnel, which was Ihort. She's also infested with these things, but she had made a deal with it that not only is she getting to live, but she's bringing other things to it so that it can procreate more. And she's much older than she appears to be. She's been doing this for a while. She was coming up short. She has to bring new recruits in fairly frequently, or the things in her to basically grow up and burst out of her as well. But Ihort is able to control his offspring to basically bring them back to the larval stage, and that's his agreement. As long as she keeps bringing him new things to put his eggs in, she gets continues to live. Well, the last few recruits that she put in all said, no, I don't want to live. And so he took a gamble by putting all of you in at once. Lynn, of course, was too frightened to actually understand that she was given a choice. And so when she said no, she was killed. You guys all readily agreed. Yeah, I want to live. And then your memories were taken from you. But unfortunately, the things in a few days do erupt out of you and go to find other hosts. Could you avoid it? Yes. If you had gone to question Volker, she has a tome that has a spell in it that can get rid of them, which she was working on herself. So there was all kinds of notes in there. So that could have been finished and you could cleanse yourself of them. So anyway, yeah, this was called Forget Me Not. And it is in a collection of Call of Cthulhu scenarios. It was kickstarted a couple of years ago. It was called Things We Leave Behind.
Okay.
And the system I'm using is actually by Pacesetter. It's very simple. There are no stats. Everybody has a base 40% chance of doing a thing that has some chance of failure. 20% if it's something that is very difficult. If you have a skill, it's 60%. If you have a really good skill, it's 75% or less. And then there's a little table that tells you the difference between what you rolled and what you could roll as to how much damage you took, including insanity. So actually, high rolls were good when making sanity checks. Low rolls are good when making skill checks.
Right.
Anyway, it was just very quick and dirty system to use for people that don't know what their skills are or anything like that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So what did you think of the scenario?
It was fun.
It was fun. And I thought we really should have, I had said, re-interview some of the people before. Yeah. That would have been.
Yeah.
I think we're all just pushing for the, because we're going late on the time. It's mostly burning the house down, by the way, doesn't do a thing. Deep underground, you would have had to figure it out. You have to get behind that wall. And
we didn't really feel like we had the characters for doing combat type stuff, though.
Nope. Nobody actually has combat. That was part.
Yeah. So I wasn't really going kind of combat stuff. Yeah. So while Jameis suspected that would be the right answer, I was like, no, I don't want to do with that. And he's finally got to burn a place down, because that's always the right answer.
Yes, in Cthulhu games, burning it to the ground is often the best answer, yes. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, guys. It was a fun one. I started listening to a YouTube channel called Journey into the Darkness, I think it's called, and they do... Every week they do a Call of Cthulhu scenarios, and they did this one.
Cool.
If you guys want to listen to it, they did something very similar. They burned it to the ground as well, but they did a little bit more research beforehand, so they knew they had to get to the tunnels.
Yeah. If this had been a KBC mission, we would have just gone burnt. We would have raised the entire place.
It's funny that Clio is about 40 minutes from my home.
Oh, really? Nice. Oh, your special skills, by the way, you were the paranormal specialist. So you had occultism. If you found the book, you might have actually been able to cast the spell.
Cool.
Library use, history. You were the supernatural expert for the show.
Yeah, I was the tech guy. She was the face, and Lynn was the money.
Yep.
Exactly. The producer. Was it just the four of us?
They give you a lot more. Like if you have a co-host, a science expert, a production assistant, a camera operator, a sound engineer, an on-air host.
Yeah, no. Yeah, if we'd sort of rang up and looked into production side of things of a group, would there have been more?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they did four episodes of 2 hours each at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They spent a lot of time just putzing around, though. I mean, you guys did a little bit, but they did a lot.
Yeah, I was also aware that, you know, we need to push this to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I if we had, if it wasn't like a definite one shot with a time limit, mm-hmm. we would have definitely probably dug a bit deeper.
Yeah. I think it's still pretty good.
I've thrown in a link to the first part in the general chat on Steam Steel Murder Discord.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, I wanted to run this because I really love to play it, so I'm glad you guys were able to play tonight. It's a pretty good scenario. If you guys want to play more of these, don't pick up and read the collection that it came out of, because I'll probably run more out of that.
Yeah, what was the name of that?
Don't tell us.
Well, no, because then we know to avoid it.
Yeah. It's called The Things We Leave Behind.
Okay, it doesn't look like I kickstarted it. Because I don't know, I think I might have.
Yeah.
It was a few years back.
You know how.
Digi and Fox was the company that did it.
Okay.
Most of them revolve around, like, body horror. They're all modern.
Oh.
Yep. But anyway, I'm glad that you guys were able to play and hope it was fun anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Bert. It was fun.
Thanks, Bert.
Yep. And just check Discord for now and then. Sharon, I know you're not on here very much, but if you want to just drop in once a week or so, I usually post if I'm trying to recruit for games. I've been using Discord more.
Any particular channel?
Just in the the general chat.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, have a good night.
Cool.
You too. Happy New Year.
Yeah,
see you next year.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.